Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It was in the Wall Street Journal last week. We noticed this story, U.S. to propose ban on menthol cigarettes. It said 84% of black smokers use menthol cigarettes. And then it said among U.S. adults, smoking rates have declined 14% in 2019 from 25% in 95. 25% in 1995. Now only 14% of adults smoke. And 5% of teenagers smoke cigarettes, to which Steve Alexander said, they're vaping. And I said, yeah, well, I'd rather they vape than smoke. And then he made that sound. That sound he makes when he disagrees with me. That one. So we said, all right, let's ask an expert. Dr. Samuel Kim is a thoracic surgeon at Northwestern. Hey, Dr. Kim, thanks for joining us again on WGN Radio. I hope you're well.
Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm doing fine. What do you think of that little setup now? That's how the conversation came to you. What are you hearing as we talk about this?
You know, I get these questions a lot because I deal with a lot of patients who are smokers, and many people do think that vaping is less harmful than smoking. Well, it is true that e-cigarette also doesn't have as much of a contaminant as in a tobacco smoke. It still isn't safe. And this is why. I mean, most e-cigarettes delivers, you know, nicotine, which it could be very addictive. But it is also very harmful to teens and kids and females who are pregnant and has a effect on brain development. In addition, e-cigarette vapors contains a lot of substances that are, you know, very toxic and harmful. There are this compound called diacetyl, which is in the flavoring substance of the e-cigarette, known to cause a devastating lung injury. There's also, you know, known carcinogens such as heavy metals and organic compounds that are fairly toxic to the lung. So even though it may contain a less amount of the harmful substance, it's still you know, there are so many downsides and only a few upside. And also what we know about the e-cigarette is only short term, and we still do not fully understand the full long-term effect of the e-cigarette, which I believe to be, going to be much more damaging to lung than what people think. Another important aspect that people don't talk about, especially in the COVID time now, is that kids who are smoking, or kids or teenagers or young adults who are vaping, are more likely to contract COVID-19 than normal people. So I say it's up to 3 to 9 times more. We still don't know the mechanism, but, you know, we do know that something like cigarette does cause depression in the immune system and ability to fight off foreign infection. So it may be it have a similar mechanism to that. So, as I said, you know, there is not a whole lot of upside. There's a lot of many downsides.
Well, I sure hadn't heard that. 3 to 9 times more likely to get COVID if a young person vapes?
Yeah. I mean, that's the population study that came out of Stanford. And it's not just like, you know, like 1.5 times. It's a significant amount of more risk that is posed, and we still don't understand what's the mechanism behind it. But after adjusting for all the confounders, such as race and age and sex and everything else, the COVID-19 stood out as a factor that increased the likelihood of contracting COVID-19. And this actually has been shown on smokers as well. And so that's a big reason why there was a advisory
Yeah.
And the recommendation that made the smokers has a higher priority of getting a vaccination.
Yeah, we heard that. And that was the frustration with some non-smokers. They said, so if I want to get the vaccine, this was early when we were all wondering where we would fit into the queue. Some people said, well, if I want to make sure I get the vaccine, I need to commit a crime and be locked up at the Cook County Detention Center as an obese smoker. And then, by golly, they'll push me right to the front. So that's the true joke about that.
There is a joke, but there is a science behind it. This was done out of a public health perspective. And then I actually did interviews and the newspaper and articles actually supporting the policy because, you know, if you are smokers and their immune system is compromised and if they get COVID-19, they're more likely to be in a hospital.
No, I get it.
In the ICU.
I understand
setting.
That, doctor.
But
let me interrupt you because I nothing you've said surprises me, with the exception of the incidence rate that you just mentioned. But isn't the current understanding that tobacco is even worse? Like if somebody's vaping, you would not recommend they switch to cigarettes. But if somebody was a 2-pack-a-day cigarette smoker and vaping satisfied them, wouldn't you suggest that they vape instead? Those are your only two options, by the way. I'm not going to give you quitting outright. If you had to pick your poison, wouldn't you be a vapor?
Well, if you're saying that if I have to pick a poison, am I going to choose a poison that has a less toxin in it? Then if that is sure. I mean, I think that would be part of the choice. That's the only choice I have.
Yeah.
But in our we have more than one choice.
I know that. But wait a minute. But I know you don't like the question because we do have more than one choice. But I also thought that I guess it depends on what you're vaping, that the business of vaping was either less addictive or that there was less nicotine. It was either less addictive or, however addictive, it wasn't delivering the same carcinogens, that it wasn't the same as tobacco.
So the carcinogen and that is involved with the chemicals and the smoke, yes. But they actually deliver as much, if not more, nicotine than a traditional cigarette. And so this is actually a big problem, especially in young adolescent kids or young adults, because those people who tend to vape, there's a higher incidence of those people actually switching over to cigarette than people who are straight out non-smoker non-smokers. So it's almost the idea of gateway drug, but it's not a drug. But nicotine is a drug when you think about it.
So, well, what is nicotine? Is nicotine the addictive substance, or is it the dangerous?
Yeah, nicotine is a very addictive substance, but at the same time, actually, is a very harmful for kids and teens and pregnant women because it does harm the development of the brain. So it is not a harmless substance, and it's very addictive. And so what I would say is that, promoting vaping as a alternative or safe alternative, I think sends a very wrong public health message.
I appreciate you saying that. I have less than a minute left, Doctor. What do you make of the administration's hope to ban menthol cigarettes outright?
Yeah, and, once again, I think, menthol cigarettes tend to have a higher amount of toxin and then chemical. And then it promotes, and the smoking among the minority and women and promoting as a easier, way to smoke. It's almost like a vaping, placing a flavoring on it. And it kind of perpetuates that image and branding that suggests that this is an easier way to, take on nicotine and smoking. Once again, I completely agree with the administrator's attack or the advice on and regulation on the menthol because it promotes, addiction on a very harmful substance that is known to kill people, and I'm actually the witness, and then the person who has to deal with patients and family members. Every day on this.
Kind of an academic argument for me. It's very personal to someone like you. Dr. Samuel Kim is a thoracic surgeon at Northwestern Medicine. Dr. Kim, it's always good to hear you on our little radio station here. We'll call you again. Thanks for your expertise today.
Thank you, John.
Have a good day, sir.